Being a new grad from seminary, I actually graduated in December, but I didn't walk the line until recently. When I started this, I thought, I am going to define prayer. So I pulled out my most scholarly book. That would be Webster's Dictionary. And so it says that prayer is a solemn request for help, or it's an expression of thanks addressed to God. And then I began to think and pray about what is the Christian meaning of prayer? And so prayer is having personal communication with Jesus. It's a conversation that we have. And what happens in a conversation? In a conversation, it's two-sided, right? And so it can't just be me talking to God. There has to be two-way communication. Psalms 46:10 reads, "Be still and know that I am God." During time with God, it is important that we be quiet and we be still. And I'm going to be honest with you all. This is one of the most difficult things for me to do. I don't know if I have ADHD. I don't know. But it is so difficult for me to get quiet and to listen. Who has a stopwatch or on your phone? Does somebody have their phone that they could give us 15 seconds? Who's going to time us? Wade, will you time us? Give me 15 seconds, and I want nobody to move or say anything, okay? Tell us when to go, Wade. He's got to figure out his phone first. Yes.
Go.
Go. That's 15 seconds. I don't know about for you, but that seems like a long time, doesn't it? Whew. And I want my answers from God right now. When I'm asking him, I'm expecting an answer, right? I want to hear from him now. So to sit in silence is one of the most difficult things that I do in my prayer life. It's because of Satan. You understand that, right? Because Satan begins to get in our minds. As soon as we start to have that relationship with Jesus, Satan is not happy. And he begins to get in your mind and to worry you about the what ifs. He doesn't want you to have any kind of a relationship with Jesus. And so he'll do anything that he can to stop that relationship. So he gets in your mind, and while you're trying to read the scripture and pray and have your quiet time, he brings thoughts into your mind about things that you could be doing and all of the tasks that you have written on your calendar and all of the things that you need to be doing for your family, the papers you need to write. I have to run the kids to school this morning, this afternoon. There's two of them that I have to run to ball games. There's appointments during the day. And if that's not enough, when I get to work, my calendar is completely full. So he begins to get in your mind and remind you of those things, to take your mind off of Jesus. Spending time with God is one of the most important things that we can do as Christians. It's our lifeline to God, right? Spending time in prayer, that's our lifeline. But we must work at it as Christians. We must discipline ourselves. Then when Satan comes in our quiet time and begins to bombard us with those, we can say, "No, Satan, I'm spending time with Jesus right now." And Satan will less and less begin to not bother you during that time, the more discipline that you get and the more that you turn him away during those times. When Satan comes, we are better prepared and equipped to cast him out if we can discipline ourselves. And just so you know, sometimes he is disguised in sheep's clothing. He has brown hair, green eyes. He's about 6'2" and plays one mean round of golf. So he comes in different disguises. So we should equip ourselves by praying and staying in the Word and by putting on the whole armor of God. I'm going to grab my Bible from here. Did you bring your Bibles tonight? If you didn't, that's okay. I prefer to have a Bible in my hand. One day I will feel comfortable just doing it on my phone, but I like to highlight and write in it and do all of those things. By the way, if you are here tonight and you don't have a Bible, don't leave here without having one. I have some Bibles and I would be happy to give you one. So don't leave here without getting a Bible in your hand. So important. So I'm going to read to you Ephesians 6, 11 through 18. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll be still standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body of armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Stay alert. So we have to always be on alert for that Satan person. Paul is closing here this letter to the Ephesians, and he's telling them there's going to be struggles and there's going to be temptations that come from the adversary. But he says you can finish well and press on to the end by staying strong and constant in prayer. Why should we pray? First of all, it brings us closer to God. It's that fellowship with God. It tells God that we are dependent upon him. It tells him that we know him. It tells him that we want to know him more. It tells him that we love him, and it tells him that we trust him. It's like having a relationship with your spouse, right? You begin dating, and you want to know everything you can know about that person. The good, sometimes you want to know the bad and the ugly, but you really want to know everything about that person, and you want to share with that person about yourself as well and things that are going on. Well, it's that same concept when you have a relationship with Jesus. I love what Billy Graham used to say about prayer. When you receive Christ into your heart, you become a child of God, and you have the privilege of talking to him in prayer at any time and about anything. The Christian life is a personal relationship to God through Jesus Christ. And best of all, it's a relationship that will last for an eternity. Spending time with God is one of the most important things. I cannot stress that enough. Just an important thing that we can do as Christians. It's important that we can go in good times. It's important that we can share in bad times. It's important that we can go to him just like a father. I believe it's important, too, to do this first thing in the morning. Now, I get it. Not everybody can do this first thing in the morning. I don't have any kids, so it's a little bit easier for me. I can't imagine being a parent and trying to get all of them settled and that sort of thing. But I do believe that it sets the scene for your day. You can start your day by telling Satan, Not today. Jesus is with me and he's going to stay with me. Not today, Satan. In Mark 1:35, we see that Jesus went early in the morning while it was dark, and he went to a secluded place and he prayed. Then again in Luke 5:16, it says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." As much as Jesus understood the value of praying with and for others, he also understood the need to pray alone. We know that the way our day starts determines the rest of our day. So that's why the enemy tries to put us in a bad frame of mind right away. So when we begin our day in prayer, we can put positive thoughts in our minds and make up our mind that it's going to be a good day. And then we can also find something that we can pull on during the day. Find a scripture or something that God tells you while you're listening in your prayer that will help you throughout the day when Satan tries to get in your mind. All right, so I'm going to step on some toes here. You say, "I don't have that time in the morning." Well, you may need to shut the TV off just a little bit earlier the night before so that you can get in bed a little bit earlier, right? And you may need to start your day and set your alarm 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes earlier. You say, I still don't have that time. Well, friends, I know that some of us set an alarm earlier so that we can get up and we can work out, and I believe that is important. I believe some of us set an alarm so that we have time to stop by Starbucks on the way to work and get our coffee. So we need to make Jesus as much a priority as we do working out and as we do getting coffee and all of those other things. We need to make Jesus first in our life. You want to be blessed? Start giving every morning to God and start tithing and watch the blessings come, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and you'll receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." That's Luke 6:38. Someday I'm going to preach on tithing, if they let me. And that's not to help you all. It's to share with you about myself. I was a VP for quite some time, for about 13 years. Made a lot of money, well into the six figures, but I was not a good steward of my money. And I can tell you that I gave, but I didn't give all the time. And it wasn't a routine for me, and I didn't tithe. And so there was a period in my life where I had everything that I wanted, but I still didn't feel blessed. I make less right now than I've ever made in my career. But I can tell you, I am blessed beyond what I ever imagined. God has given me everything and then some. So, like I said, someday I think they'll let me preach on that. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but I want every blessing that God has in store for me. And so that's one of the reasons that I want to make him a priority. Matthew 6:33 in the New Living Translation says, "To seek the kingdom of God above all else and to live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." Amen? You believe that? All right. So we seek the kingdom by having a relationship with God. And we do this by prayer, by listening, by getting in the word, and by spending time with God. I have some prayer acronyms for you. One of them we'll talk about in a minute. I hope you, did everybody get a handout when you came in? If you didn't, raise your hand and we'll get one to you. And we will talk about that one. The first prayer acronym you've heard Reverend Shane talk about before. You may have even heard Reverend Mike talk about it, but it's ACTS, A-C-T-S. The A stands for adoration. So you can, if you're learning to pray, you can begin your prayers by adoring God for who he is. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. So just begin by adoring him. C stands for confession. If I go too fast and you're trying to write, just let me know. C stands for confession. So spend time confessing your sins and reporting them. That sounds kind of weird, but this too can be difficult, right? Some you don't always know the things that you've done that's offended others or that have hurt others. But I want to always be cognizant of that. So when I pray this prayer, I ask for God to reveal to me those areas in my life that I need forgiveness for. Reveal to me those areas or those folks that I've hurt, offended. So confession. T stands for thanksgiving. We need to take time to be thankful to God for the blessings that he's given us and the blessings upon your family. This reminds me of an old hymn called Count Your Blessings. Anybody remember it? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. So make sure that you are giving thanks to God for the many blessings. S stands for supplication. Lift up specific areas in your life in which you need God to supply your needs. What do you need today from God? Now, I'm not talking about a new car. I'm not talking about all those earthly things. But what is it that you need from God today? God, I'm having a difficult time today with all of the things that I need to do. And I just really would like some downtime to relax and spend with you. So make sure that you're doing supplication in your prayer. The second one I had never heard of, but it's called TRIP. Has anybody else heard of this, TRIP? Okay, it's new to you all too. So it's some of the same words and some of the same things, but it's just a different pattern. So with TRIP, you begin with thanks for who God is and making sure that you tell him what you are thankful for. And then R stands for regrets. So it's the same thing as repentance, really. But what are those things that you've done that you regret that you've done? I is intercession. So you pray for whom? You pray for others during that time of intercession. And then purpose. What action is God calling me to take today? And I love this when I read this TRIP thing, because we all go into prayer with our own agenda, and we all go into our day with our own agenda. But taking time to say, God, what is it that you want from me today? What is it that you have planned for me today? Is there someone out there that you want me to spend time with, that you want me to minister to? So I love that about that TRIP acronym. The next acronym is PRAY. P stands for praise. Tell God how great he is and give him praise and glory. That is one of the things that, Ronnie, when you were up here praying a while ago, we are giving him praise and glory because he's already done a lot of healing in Eric's life, right? We're praising him and giving him glory for the healing that is yet to come as well. R in the PRAY acronym stands for report. Tell God about what's been going on in your life, both the good and the bad. He already knows, but he wants to hear from you. He wants you and him to have this kind of a relationship, not only that he is your father, but that he is your friend. A stands for ask. Tell God your prayer request. What are you requesting? Do you have something that you're praying about for your family? Do you have someone you're praying for? Do you have, I don't know. You all, when you take your vows for Christ Church, you all take a vow that you will pray for the church, right? So are you praying for the church during that time? And then Y in the PRAY acronym stands for yield. Spend time handing over your life and your circumstances to the will of God. And the last one is this prayer hand. And when I came across this, I really love it. I will not go through each individual item here, but confession is the pinky. Petition is the ring finger. Intercession is the middle finger. Thanksgiving, your first finger, and the thumb is for praise. So take this with you this week, and maybe this can be something that you go through in your quiet time and read some of those things individually. I was talking to some folks prior to this, and they said that they've used this in vacation Bible school before. She said that she got white gloves and put it on the glove for the kids. I love that idea. Her husband said we should get tattoos. I might get that tattoo, too. So, the next thing we want to talk about is, does God answer prayers? We see countless examples in the Bible of things that we can read where God has intervened and God has answered prayers. And we prayed tonight, and I believe God heard us. I believe he was present, and I believe that there will be healing that occurs in Eric. You have to realize that God's answer to your prayers may be no. Sometimes, right? Sometimes you pray and you don't get what you asked for. Sometimes the answer is wait. God knows what's best for our lives, though. And in due season, he'll answer our prayers according to his perfect plan for our life. The perfect example of this for me is when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus was praying to the Father, and he said, "Not as I will, but as you will." He offered a tremendous but seemingly simple insight into prayer, that God is in charge. All right, next I'm going to give you 6 prayer tools to use. Number 1, make prayer a habit. It takes 21 days to form a habit. So everybody right now, raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Carmen, solemnly swear that I will make prayer a priority over the next 21 days. Okay. Keep me updated how you're doing, okay? So make prayer a habit. When I talk about changing your schedule and making God a priority, make it a habit. So when you talk about having your quiet time and your prayer time with God, if you absolutely cannot do it in the morning, that's okay. But whenever it is that you do it, make that a priority. So if somebody invites you to a late dinner and you know that I have to be home by 8 o'clock because that's my prayer time, make it a priority, folks. Let them know that. That's a great testimony. My prayer time starts at 8 o'clock, and so I really need to be home by that time, so can we leave for dinner a little bit early? Make God a priority in your life. Create a room or a secluded space. So you might have noticed the chairs up here. This is really the way that I have my prayer space arranged in my home. It's in my office, and in one corner of my office, I have 2 chairs and a table set up there. And it's a place that I can go to get away from the daily routine. I can go and get away from the TV. I can go and get away from Maggie, the dachshund. So it's a place that I can go and just spend time with God, where there's very little outside stressors that so that I can totally focus on God. Does it work all the time? No, it doesn't. So let me give you an example. Oh, I left my phone down there, but let's pretend I have it with me. So I go in my prayer room. One of the things that I try to do is leave my phone downstairs, but sometimes I forget and I take it with me. So I sit down and I begin. God, I just want to spend time with you today. Oop, I heard the buzz, and I pick up the phone. I've been on call or had a pager since 1996, y'all. So people can get a hold of me anytime. And I hear that buzz, and I have to answer it right away. So I look at the buzz. Oh, yeah, I'll have to remember to return that later. Oh, but wait, I see a message here that I have. And before you know it, I've squirreled into my phone, right? And there went my prayer time. So if I can remember to leave that someplace else, it's quite helpful to me. And I'll begin to pray again, and Satan gets in my mind, and he'll say, you know, you have a full day ahead of you, and so you really should wrap this up pretty quickly. Let's not spend too much time sitting here, right? And I think, yeah, you're right. I really have a full day ahead of me. And then trying to refocus myself. It's a struggle, y'all. And so some of the things that I keep on my table, this is one of the books that I love, and I've read through it, and I'm reading through it again. What the prayers of Jesus tell us about the heart of God. So I might have a book there. I certainly have my Bible. This is another one. You can get this in the bookstore. It's Coffee with Bernie. Does anybody have this book? It's got a lot of his devotions that he read. This is a great book if you need a daily devotion book. So I will have some kind of a devotion book there that I can turn to. And again, I have my Bible because we're doing the read through the word. And so I may do that during my quiet time as well. I journal. Does anybody else journal? Yes? Yeah. Journaling helps me. I journal everything. I journal my thoughts. I journal my prayers. It is something that really helps me to stay focused. So that's one of the things that it does for me. A second thing that journaling does for me is I have journals from probably 20 years ago, and I will pull out that journal and read it sometimes. And it is so cool to see where God answered prayer. You know what else is really cool? Those times that I prayed about something and God didn't answer them the way I wanted them answered. But he answered them his way. And guess what? His ways are perfect. His ways gave me much more than I ever could have dreamt about. So that's the reason I like to journal. I like to go back and just review those. This is a new journal that we have in the cafe. This is not a commercial, I promise, but I want to get stuff in your hands to help you. This is a new journal that we have in the book store. Just over the last week we got this, and this will help you as we're going through the Psalm series. When Reverend Shane gets back, he's going to start a Psalm series. And so if you haven't picked one of these up, get one. Anybody have it yet? Has anybody been in the bookstore? No? Anybody want one? Yes? Yes? Who wants one? Okay, here you go. You're welcome. How about journaling? Does everybody have a journal? If you don't have a journal, I want this journal in your hands. Who doesn't have a journal? Okay, Chris. I just met Chris tonight. Come on up, Chris. Chris, you've been going here for how long? Since Thanksgiving. We are glad to have you here and be a part of our family. Yeah. There is a journal for you. You are welcome. All right. I feel like there was something else I wanted to. Oh, I know. Bible. Who's here that doesn't have a Bible? Everybody have a Bible? You know somebody that needs one? Anybody know somebody that needs a Bible? Sir, come get this Bible. You're welcome. At Christ Church, we want you, our family, and your extended family to have everything. We want to equip you to have a wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ. So if there is something you need, if there is something you don't have, or if you have a child or somebody in your family or somebody you're praying for, we want to get that stuff in your hands so that you can get it to them. So you make certain and let us know. Number four. I told you number three, didn't I? It was journaling. Do you want me to go back? I said I had six tools for you. Where did we go? I don't know. So number one was making it a habit. Number two was creating a secluded space for just you and God. Number three is journaling. Number four is praying the psalm. Now, I used praying the psalm tonight, but it's really praying any scripture. Again, you will notice, Ronnie is one of our routine prayer partners. Again, you will notice that she introduced scripture into her prayer. It's so important. That's the reason God gave us that stuff, right? And so remembering to pray the scripture. Pray the Psalms. The Psalms is God's prayer book, and he gave it to us to use, and we should get it into our habit making and make it a habit to read a psalm. I want to give you an example of a time that I have used the psalm. I remember a time when I was working for a particular boss that was quite difficult. And I am not ashamed about being a Christian at all. And so I will share that. Now, after you share you're a Christian, guess what? You got to be good all the time. You got to look like you're a Christian, right? Act like you're a Christian. Talk like you're a Christian. So, and I'm not ashamed of that. So I will share that with everyone. So this particular boss was so difficult for me to deal with. And I would be in my office and I could hear her coming. She was short. She had little steps. And she would make it to my office and she would come right on in and she would sit down and she would begin. And first she would begin complaining about the corporation that we worked for. And I didn't believe everything that was going on with that corporation, but I did believe that God had me there for a purpose. And so she would begin with the corporation that we worked for. And then she would move on to her boss and the things that her boss was doing. And then she would move on to some of my staff and the things that my staff were doing that she didn't agree with. And she would move on to some of my colleagues and just on and on and on. And then we would get in our staff meetings. She would call us all together. We would be in a staff meeting and she would begin pointing people out for things. Have you ever sat there thinking, I'm next? She's going to say something about me to everybody in this room. So here's what I would do. I would ask to be excused, and I would go to the bathroom, and I would get in the stall, and I had my phone, and I would pull up Psalms 91 and read the psalm and pray. Now, sometimes the meetings drug on, and I would have to release or ask to be excused more than one time because of what was going on in that meeting. But so I'm sure all my colleagues thought, boy, Carmen's got a real problem going to the bathroom every 20 minutes. But that was my way of recentering and refocusing myself to Jesus so that I could continue to be the person that he wanted me to be. Psalms 91. Those that dwell in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That's the first verse. And write that down, you guys. If you haven't read that recently, read that this week. Number five is prayer cards. A few months ago, we put every member, I shared with you all that when I first went to Asbury Theological Seminary, every time I've been on the campus, there's just this peace. Valerie, you went to the university there, Asbury University, right? Oh, no, you didn't. But you lived there for a while, right? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? There is just this overwhelming peace that you feel when you get on that campus. And so I was saying that to one of my professors one day, and he said, do you know when you applied here, we put your name on an index card, and gave that to one of our prayer partners, and somebody has been praying for you that entire time. I think that was pretty awesome and is awesome. And so I came home and I thought, why couldn't we do that at Christ Church? And so at the time, we started this probably about 8 months ago, and everybody that was a member then, your name went on a card. I brought one here to show you. So your name went on one of the index cards. And we had folks that agreed and committed to praying. And so those that agreed and committed to praying, you have index cards. And your first index card is for Christ Church, for the pastors, the staff, the ministries here, and for you all, the members. And then you have individual families and members that you're praying with. So we did that. It was shortly after we disaffiliated that we began that. And now Sarah helps me up front, but every time we have a new member, we give them a card. We currently need some new prayer partners. I want to read to you what this sheet that goes in says. It says, "Thank you for committing to pray for the pastor, staff, and families of Christ Church. The commitment is to pray for each family weekly. If at any time you feel that you can't meet your commitment, please return your packet to Pastor Carmen." We are committed to praying here at Christ Church. And so these folks that I have here are members just over the last couple of weeks. We had, I forgot what the total was for the Sunday 2 weeks ago. Was it 30-something new members? And then just every other weekend, folks are coming to my office and say, "We want to know about membership here. We want to be a part of what's going on at Christ Church." And so their names go on these prayer cards as well. This is from our new members just in the last couple of weeks, and I need somebody tonight to commit to praying for these folks. I would like to give you these. Can somebody raise your hand and commit? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, give her some praise. Yeah, thank you for that. And what is your first name?
Tracy.
Susan, will you help me remember that so I can give it to Sarah? We keep a list of who has whose names, and I'll make sure that Sarah knows that you have those cards. Thank you for doing that. We are committed to prayer here at Christ Church. So this is something that you can do at your home as well. Pull out some index cards. If you've got something that you are praying for, somebody you're praying for, and you don't want to forget it, you put them on that card and keep that card. There's also prayer apps. Pray.com is one that I think Reverend Mike has looked at, and he gave me that one. So if you want to write that down and maybe spend some time looking at that app and see if it's helpful for you. Our scripture tonight comes from 2 Chronicles 7:14. You thought I was never going to get there, didn't you? 2 Chronicles focuses on the rule of King David's son, King Solomon. King Solomon was respected for centuries for his wisdom, and he built a temple. After Solomon prayed and after the dedication of the temple, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 says that fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, and the sacrifices and the glory and the brilliance of the Lord filled the temple, and God spoke this promise: "If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." Will you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you, Father God, thank you that we have a way to communicate with you. Father, I'm not going to lie, sometimes prayer is hard. There are times I get on my knees and I can't focus. There are times you've heard me say, "God, what is going on? Why can't I get it together?" God, those are the times that you stand in the gap for me. So thank you for that. Father, I pray that we here at Christ Church will continue to love spending time with you. Father God, give us a heart of prayer. Father, there are times that people say, "I need a ministry. I don't know exactly what it is that God wants me to do." Father, those are the folks that we want praying. Anybody can pray, Father. Father, I pray that you will bless each and every person that's here this week. Give them a heart for prayer. Father, I pray that you will help them as they grow their relationship with you. Father, I also pray right now that you would let them know their importance in prayer. Father, thank you. We give you praise and glory because you love us And you know we are not perfect, but we are yours. And we know, Father, that you will lead and guide us through this time. All these things we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.